Now, if you have your Bibles, please, will you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3? 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We are returning to the study of God's Word, and it is not unrelated, I would say, to the Easter season, but a different aspect of it. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I will be reading verses 19 and 20. I'm sorry, 16 and 17. 19 and 20 is 1 Corinthians 6. But we're reading 1 Corinthians 3. And this is the word of God. Do you not know you are a temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, and that is what you are. Now turn, if you please, to 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? You have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. There is an old saying which says that if what you don't know could kill you. And I want to suggest this morning, as we have read the two texts, that what you don't know could change your life. This morning we want to talk about the temple of God as described for us in the text we have from 1 Corinthians 3 and 6 and 2 Corinthians as well. We began this series by dealing with the church, the body of Christ. The difference between the body and the temple is noticeable. For the body is something you can take around with you and you can move from different places. And it was dealing mostly with relational responsibilities. You are members one of another. But when we come to 1 Corinthians 3, dealing with the temple, it is dealing not so much with a relational this way as it is dealing with a responsibility and a relational that way. When I speak of the temple, I am not speaking of this building. Beautiful as it is, this is not the temple of God. It is a place, it is a house that has been set aside for the worship of God. And I think that Mr. Harris was right, that one. Mr. Harris was right when he said, the reason Jesus is here is because you brought him here. Because I brought him here. God does not dwell in temples made with hands. He dwells in temples that are living. Living stones being made into temples. And for the next few moments, that is what we want to look at as we deal with our text. Paul made three wonderful statements. He said this, you are a temple of God individually. Your body is the temple of God individually. We are the temple of God collectively. And it appears to me that the Corinthian church did not know that. They were ignorant of a truth they should have known, but for some reason they were ignorant of it. For three times the Apostle Paul said to them, do you not know? Do you not know? Do you not know? To emphasize that they were living in ignorance. They were living in ignorance of a fact that could have transformed their lives. Perhaps had we known it, we would have had a different Corinthian letter to us. Because one of the things the Corinthian church was guilty of is using the temple for the wrong purpose. And if we do not know that we are the temple of God, that our body is the temple of God, then, my friends, we could use the body just like the Corinthian church and do the wrong thing in God's temple and with God's temple. We shall see in a moment. Consider with me briefly what I call the making of the temple. the making of the temple. And we will turn to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19. Ephesians 2 and 19, as the apostle, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, speaks concerning the temple of God. Ephesians chapter 2. So then, verse 19, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household. Something that belongs to God. Something that God is responsible for. Something that originated with Him. The idea of we being the temple of God, my friends, is something that God Himself designed, something that God Himself instigated, and something that God Himself is doing. The idea of the temple, our bodies, being the temple of God, is not an idea that Peter came up with, or Paul came up with, or any of the apostles or the church fathers. The idea of being the temple of God was something that started again into eternity. The unique thing about Christianity is this, that everything in the true nature of the Christian life began, continues, and will be consummated by God. It is not something that we conjure up for ourselves, thinking that somehow if we are able to put together some ideas, some thoughts, that we can come to the conclusion that we want to in our Christian lives, and therefore we can make ourselves what we want to for the glory of God. No, friends, God makes us of and by Himself that we might be to His glory. It is never the other way around. So God is the one who is the maker. I remember reading a story some time ago about the fellow who was the architect for the Brooklyn Bridge. Before the bridge was completed, he got sick. And he had to go by the plans that were made. That which he actually did in his office. He wasn't there to see the completion of the bridge, and so when the bridge was finished, he was taken on his stretcher to see the building he had actually designed. And as he looked at it, as he compared it with the plans, he was heard to say, just as I planned. Just as I planned. It is precisely what I had in my mind. It is precisely what I put on paper. And it is precisely the way I wanted it built. There's coming a day, my friends, when God will want to say of your life and mine, just as I planned it. Just as I wanted it. Just as I designed it, I redeemed it for this purpose, and here it is. He will present it to angels. He will present it to the creatures in heaven. This is the church that I have designed for myself. Later on, we'll be looking at the church as the bride. That is what will happen when we see Jesus. So the architect is God. Your life and mine as a Christian is the design of a sovereign mind. Let's look quickly at the arranging of the temple, of the building. How does it all begin? I want to take you just for a few moments to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. You don't need to turn there, but in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, the scripture says that God formed man out of the dust of the ground. There was the formation of a body. Everything was in place. The hands were where God wanted them. The ears were where God wanted them. The eyes were, everything was there. But there was no life. A body without life, my friends, is of absolutely no use at all. So what did God do? God breathed into that lifeless body, and that lifeless body became a living soul. From the beginning, it was the intention of God that you and I should live with divine life. The concern of God that he would pour his life, and all through the Old Testament, he promised that the day would come after man had actually desecrated the body, the temple of God. God promised there was a day coming when he would once again return. He would give us a new heart and a new spirit, and he will put his spirit in us, so that it was the intention of God from creation that your life and my life as his creatures, and now as his redeemed one, that we should live with a divine resident. How did God start the process? Turn with me, please, to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, and I'll read to save time. Verse 4. And coming to him, speaking of the Lord here, you look in the previous verses, you'll see that. And coming to him as to a living stone, rejected by men, but choice and precious in the sight of God. You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood. When you and I became believers, when we went to the cross, the old rugged cross that we heard about this morning, when we became believers, when we trusted Christ, when we repented of our sins, God began the work of putting the building blocks into places. You are being built. You are in the process of being built. Now go back with me, please, to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. And in Ephesians 2, we read, verse 20, having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing up into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. You are the temple of God. Your body is the temple of God. We are the temple of God. St. Paul says that God is in the process of fitting each piece of our lives so that we fit into the temple. Our body, God is at work at this moment, making sure that we fit. There's a beautiful, beautiful illustration of this in the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings, where Solomon is building the temple of God. And it is said, 1 Kings 6 and 7, that when the temple was being built, there was no noise heard from the bricks. They were previously prepared where no human eyes could see them, so that when the temple was being built, each piece fitted together without a nail, without a chisel, without a hammer. Was there none of these things done? Of course they were used. But they were used, my friends, in the secret place. They were used where no eyes could see. And it is the same way the Holy Spirit is at work right now, chipping, chiseling away at your life and mine, removing those pieces that would clash with other blocks, other pieces of the temple. The Holy Spirit is at work at this very moment, dealing with our tempers, dealing with our attitudes. God is chipping away so that when we come together, he will fit every piece in its proper place, and we will therefore be prepared as a temple for God. I don't know what this does to you, my friends. I know what it does to me. This is why St. Paul said, you are not your own. If you are a child of God, your body doesn't belong to you. I cannot use my body as I want because I do not use the temple as I want. The purpose of the temple was for the dwelling of God, and God will never dwell in a temple where there is an unforgiving spirit, where there is a bitter spirit, where there is resentment, where there is pride, where there is conflict. God removes his presence from the temple, so he in secret, in our quiet time, when we read the scriptures, when we meet in small groups, what God does, he chips away. It's interesting, isn't it? When he called James and John, he called them sons of thunder. Sons of thunder. The reason he called them this is because it seems that James and John had explosive spirits. They let their feelings hang out. That was a time when they were walking through Samaria, and the Samaritans didn't want Jesus and his disciples to walk through because they were Jews, and the Samaritans had nothing to do with the Jews, and Peter, James and John said, you want us to call fire from heaven and consume them? I mean, they told Jesus what he ought to do. Jesus had to chip away at those things. Peter, my friends, was a prejudiced Jew. Like Jonah was a prejudiced Jew. And Peter could not see any Gentile being the recipient of grace. And in Acts chapter 10, God met with him in private and showed him a vision and showed him all kinds of creatures. And he said to him, eat and drink. And Peter said, no, I'm a Jew. I don't eat anything. And God said to him, let not man call unclean that which God has cleansed. And he chipped away at Peter, chipped away at Peter. And Peter still did not learn the lesson. So in Galatians chapter 2, we find Peter eating with the Jews when there were no, with the Gentiles when there were no Jews around. And later on, when there were Jews around, he would withdraw himself. And Paul went to him and said, Peter, this is wrong. God has not finished his work of chipping away at your life as yet. I ask you, my dear friends, is God still doing the chipping work in your life as he is in mine? I'm sorry to tell you that, perhaps you won't be sorry when I tell you what it is. Both Pastor Blaine and I will be away this coming week. And you will have someone else in the pulpit next Sunday. Reverend Reg Reimer from World Relief will be our speaker. But I'm just gone for the weekend. Pastor Blaine is going to live it up in Florida and with his wife. Sorry. And I'm going to be speaking up in Blind River. A year ago, yeah, he goes to Florida, I go to Blind River. That's the. I'm speaking at a couples conference. And I'm going to tell you what I've discovered in my studies. Think this through before you come to a conclusion. When we get married, we marry each other as friends, but living in us is a monster. You discover that monster after the wedding. It's then you begin to, is this the man I was in love with? I mean, I'm in love with? is this the woman? After the ceremony, friends, you begin to discover the one to whom you get married. And God puts you in a situation where he wants to use his wife to chip away at your life. And use the husband to chip away at your life so that you will fit together as a beautiful couple that display to the watching world the fact that Jesus Christ lives inside of you. It happens in the church. I like what Phil Keller says in his book, A Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm. He says, as a shepherd at nights when the sheep were mating, in the middle of the night you would hear thud. 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 He knew exactly what was happening. They would kill each other because of mating season. He said, so what he used to do, he would get linseed oil and he would just cover their horns so that when they hit, they just slide off each other. isn't that a beautiful picture? Thou anointest my head with oil so that we can fit into the temple. My friends, the most important thing for you and me to realize is that God is in the process. He is not yet finished his chipping process, but he's in the process of chipping away so that we will fit. Not only on earth, but that we will fit in heaven so that when we get there, he will say, just as I planned. The making of the temple. The builder is God. The process is God's. And the building is you and me. You are the temple of God. Your body is the temple of God. We are the temple of God. Do you realize, my friends, that when you and I left our homes this morning, if we did not leave God, if we didn't bring God with us, it would be a most difficult time for us to find him in a building. Difficult. Because the text tells us that we are his temple and his spirit lives in us. He truly resides in us. Consider this mystery. Consider this mystery. The Spirit of God dwells in you. This is not a hope. This is a fact. This is not a wish. This is a declaration. Don't you know that God by his Spirit dwells in you? Jesus said it. Please turn with me to John chapter 14. And I don't want to rush this, so I think I will bring this to a close in a few minutes so that you can digest what was said, and then I'll finish it, Lord's willing, two Sundays hence. John 14:23. Perhaps 22. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, what then has happened that you are going to disclose yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. Listen now. And my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him. If anyone loves me, my Father will love him, and we will come, and we will dwell in him. My dear friends, as a Christian, you and I are mysteries walking on 2 feet. Mysteries. For you and I have living in us God. He has not only breathed his life into us, he has come to live in us. The word dwelling means to settle down, to reside, to make home. Look at John 17. John 17, again, 22 and 23. Listen to this. Jesus speaking. And the glory which thou hast given me, I have given to them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be perfected in unity, that the world may know that thou didst send me, and didst love them, even as thou dost love me. Wow. The glory, that dignity which is divine, that indescribable something called glory, which belongs to the triune God in glory in heaven. Jesus said, I have imparted this to those whom you have given me in order that they may be one, realizing that I am in them and you are in me. Oh, dear friends, do you understand? Do I understand what that means? That right now in this place, we used that just a few minutes ago, didn't we? Where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm in the midst of them. Listen, where you are as an individual, he's not simply with you. He's in you. He's in me. So that we, if you please, my friends, we are little sons and daughters of God, brothers of Jesus Christ, with his glory in us. Let me ask, my friends, did your husband see it this morning, wives? Did your wives see it this morning, husbands? Did your children see it? Did they see glory in you because God, by his Spirit, dwells within you, dwells within me? The whole purpose of Christianity is not that an absent God might tell people what to do, but that a present God might live out his life in those who are his. You are the temple of God. Don't you know that God's Spirit dwells in you? What are you doing with the temple?
What are you doing in the temple? What's taking place in the temple?
Remember, friends, this morning, about 4 o'clock, my boy walked into our room and he says, "Daddy, I don't feel good." And within minutes, nothing else needs to be said. I got up, tended to him, along with my wife, cared for him. Then I went back to bed. 4:30 or so this morning. And I could not sleep. My mind was just turning things over. Good things, bad things, hard things, easy things. And then I went back to sleep with this thought. God is in control of everything out there, no matter what it is. No matter what it is, He's in control. But He wants to be in control of everything in here. Because when He is in control in me and of me, He could release me to the world to say to them, "Thus saith the Lord, He is in me, speaking through me to a world that needs to know that God is near to those who call upon Him." And I closed my eyes again, slept until I got up with the awareness that I was not simply praying to God here, from here to there. Listen, friends, I don't understand it, but God, the Holy Spirit who lives in me, was interceding to God for me because I am His temple. You are the temple of God. Your body is the temple of God. We are the temple of God. Our Father, may the Holy Spirit drive home this truth, incomplete as it is, but may He begin to give us a thirst to recognize whose we are, who lives in us, and who desires to live through us. We ask it in Jesus' name.